The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, John Mashoda, and Kyle Yeomans.
It's a wonderful Wednesday edition of Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. We are live from the SWBC studios here at the Star in Frisco as we preview today the Dallas defense versus the Carolina Panthers offense. What does Carolina bring to the table? Actually, they've got some pieces on offense, and we'll talk about that a little bit as we go along. As always, we have Isaiah Standback, John Mashoda, Nick Harris. I'm Kyle Yeomans, Chris Beam running everything in the back. Gentlemen, how we doing today?
Hello.
That was my inner
doing
Seinfeld.
Well. Doing well Seinfeld. On this.
Is that what that was?
That was Seinfeld. Sorry. My apologies.
Are you a big Seinfeld guy?
Back when my grandfather was alive, we used to watch Seinfeld all the time. All the time.
I think it's one of the most overrated shows ever.
I'm honestly in agreement.
Yeah, I'm with you guys.
I think it's terrible.
I've given it so many attempts.
I mean, had it not been for my grandfather, I probably wouldn't have sat and watched it, but
yeah.
Good memories.
No, I know what you're saying for sure. Yeah. There's definitely, I'm kind of like that with Cheers.
I can't watch Cheers.
Yeah, I just was one of those. My dad used to work midnight shift, and so if I couldn't fall asleep, and when he came home, it would just be on because what else was really on at night? And so I always remember watching that. And I wouldn't sit here and say it's like the greatest show or anything, but like you said, you have like good memories and things like that. So yeah.
What are your top three favorite TV shows?
Oh, mine's easy. It's The Office. Are we doing
I don't. I guess it's the same thing, isn't it?
I kind of have them in a different category because I'd put like Breaking Bad in like my TV show category and like Sopranos, but like we're talking sitcoms, and I'm going like Office, Martin, my wife,
I guess.
And kids.
Let's go sitcoms then.
Okay,
sitcoms?
Then Office, Martin, My Wife, and Kids. Yeah, that would be
Office, Martin, My Wife, and Kids.
Yeah, I've never seen Martin. Who is that? Was Steve Martin? I've never seen it.
This is the best thing that can happen today.
You gotta stop talking, Kyle.
You're banned. All right, John, you're the host.
I don't even know who.
What?
Who's in it?
Stop.
Martin
this.
Lawrence.
Just don't even. Just don't.
Okay.
I know who Martin Lawrence is, but I didn't know he had a sitcom. I didn't know.
Yeah. Beamer, help him.
It's fantastic.
Help him, Beamer.
Has Beamer seen it?
Yes. I almost guarantee.
You know, I actually wasn't going to say this, but since you've said before that you're a huge R. Kelly fan, I loved The Cosby Show as a kid.
Yeah. Okay, so
sorry.
Go ahead, John. So thank you for giving us yours.
Yeah,
he's definitely going to be last today on this one.
Nothing is even close for me with The Office. I've seen every Office episode at least 10 times.
Really?
I would say that's the only show that I religiously would watch like that still to this day.
Huh.
I mean, unless we're counting like I was a kid, I probably watched a ton of Saved by the Bell, but I wouldn't put that on there. But if we're just doing TV shows all together, Breaking Bad is really high on the list for me. But
yeah.
There's nothing else coming to mind that I really would go out of my way to try and watch. But, I mean, I definitely have seen many episodes of Martin.
Yeah. So, number one for me is Martin.
Okay.
Number two is In Living Color.
Yeah, that's a great
And number, number three is Jamie Foxx Show.
You know, I got Jamie into Fox that super late. Like, that just wasn't the one that was on in my house for some
Classic.
Reason. Sorry, I got things going on in my throat today. Yeah. But yeah, fantastic.
What was that?
Fantastic. Okay.
I just didn't hear you. Okay, there you go, Kyle.
I would probably throw Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in there too.
Fresh
I used
Prince
to watch
I agree.
So
yeah, I agree.
I was Prince of Bel-Air was bad.
You think it was bad?
Bad good, like
like it was like bad. Yeah, like good bad. Okay. I'd probably say Office number 1, and it's not even close. It's Office super high, and then there's a significant drop off. I would put Fresh Prince up there. I think Fresh Prince was really good. Yep, there you go. And then I'm trying to look up like other names because I don't even think of any that are really like coming to mind here. I liked Friends, but I don't know if it would be like a top three show.
I'm not letting
me.
You put that in.
Hey, sleeper pick.
I don't think I would.
I'm not letting you
there.
Put that in your top three.
Modern Family is really funny.
Sleeper pick. King of Queens.
King of Queens.
King of Queens is good. I think Grandpa's hilarious.
Sleeper pick. That is a sleeper pick.
You've never seen. That's your homework.
I'm Martin. Buying you. That's what your Christmas gift is.
You're getting Martin.
That's Martin. Fine.
I've always looked for retro shows, you know?
Retro.
It was 1992 to 1997. I was born in 96, Isaiah. It was before my time.
Sometimes you just got to go back to go forward, huh?
That's okay. I'll do that.
Nobody said to live in color but me.
No. I didn't think of it, but because I just don't think of it as like a sitcom, but it was great.
Does Ted Lasso count as a sitcom?
No, it's Netflix.
It's not Netflix. It's Apple.
Same thing. But subscription based.
Yeah. All right. I'm really critical of like
Beamer. What's your worst?
What it is.
Yeah.
We got to get Beamer's before we proceed.
What?
Your top three TV shows.
Oh, I mean, I was growing up was Saved by the Bell, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I mean, that was
okay.
When you said growing, I thought you were going to say Growing Pains.
That was a good show. Full House when I was
Full House
was good. Pains. A lot.
Family Matters
is good. All right, good.
Your reaction though,
so much homework.
Your reaction when he didn't know Martin was, man, that was the
Who's
best.
Who's Martin?
That was the best.
I don't know. Really? I still don't.
Tubby boy.
All right, let's get to news and notes. There's not a ton going on. The Cowboys were off yesterday, but what's the word, Nick?
Yeah, so Tuesdays, historically, as we've said on this show throughout the season, there's nothing going on. So the one thing that I wanted to throw out there today, and this is probably the biggest talking point that I found on Twitter or X, whatever you call it, yesterday. Kelvin Joseph getting cut by the Dolphins. Look, this might be a hot take. Bring him in. You need depth.
That is definitely a hot take.
I understand. I get it. Bring him in. You need depth. Especially at nickel. If something goes wrong at nickel, you need depth. And I understand that I'm going to be the only one on this table.
Oh, you're definitely by yourself on this one.
I understand that, but I say bring him in. You got a guy that knows the system, sure. Has he had some off-the-field issues when he was here? Absolutely. But
who are you cutting?
Yeah, that's...
Good talk.
I'm cutting one of the guys that is on the 53 that hasn't played all season.
You swapping a Miami for a Miami?
No. It would be, probably Viliame Fajoko.
You have a linebacker,
but you just
on the 53
drafted
with
a fourth round pick. You going to draft 2 years in a row, draft picks, and then get rid of them?
I'm just saying. If he hasn't played
last
all
year,
season,
was Ridgeway?
You need a need
Ridgeway
somewhere.
Was he a seventh round pick?
No, Ridgeway was higher than that.
He was
he?
A fourth.
Yeah, he was a fourth.
He was a fourth.
Ridgeway was a fourth round pick. That's what I'm saying. That's 2 years in a row.
I forgot that.
I don't think he was that high.
I don't think
I'm willing to bet on that. There's no way he was a fourth round. They would not have let him go if he was a fourth round pick. Just to your point, why they wouldn't let Fajoko go. They're not giving passing up.
He's a fifth round pick. Late fifth.
There you go.
Late fifth.
I don't see them giving up a fourth round.
I don't think they're going to give him up either.
I don't think they quote unquote give him up, but I.
You think he returns?
I don't know.
Yeah. Understood.
I think he returns.
I just don't understand why they even drafted that position group that high when you had a ton of O-line needs.
Yeah.
That's just one of the baffling decisions that were made for me. They didn't make a lot of baffling, decisions, but that was definitely highlighted for me. I did not understand their justification for that pick.
I think the one thing that would get in the way.
Nothing against him.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that would get in the way of a possible return for Kelvin Joseph is feelings. Because that's just tough. Like, you traded him away right after training camp, right before the season started. I mean, and I think he had some things to say on Twitter, like, right after that. So, I'm sure that would get in the way of potentially bringing him back. But, look, if you need depth at corner,
he's not in a position to say much right now.
Nah, I understand that. Yeah. I understand that. But
cut twice in the same year.
For all in favor, say aye. You walk out.
Yeah, wow, exactly. You just shut the laptop.
Yeah,
I would be interested to see.
There you go, Beam.
No.
I get your thought process. You need depth. Bring him in. He can maybe be a practice squad guy. Like, there's things there that would work out.
Does he clear waivers? That's the question.
Yes.
Yeah, let me ask you this question.
Probably would.
Does the Miami Dolphins have a better secondary than Dallas Cowboys?
Without Diggs, probably.
Yeah, without Trayvon Diggs, probably so. Yeah.
With Diggs, man, now looking back at the start of the season, with Diggs, Gilmore, and Bland, wow.
Yeah.
What a crew that would have been for a full season.
Way to bring us down, John.
And we had it for 2 games.
Yeah.
It was awesome,
too. It was awesome for 2 games.
It was great for 2 games, and that didn't work out. I think, without Diggs, they're probably better, but with
Diggs. You'll pick up their scraps?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Why not? That's what the NFL is all about.
Except for the scraps that they just got rid of as the scraps that you got rid of.
That's fair. Yeah.
You end up with both. That's a good trade.
Dang it.
Right back to square one.
Back to you.
That's a good trade.
Hey, Malik Hooker was the scraps of Indianapolis. He's your starter.
Oh, yeah. Except for he started.
Jaron Curse was the scraps.
Yeah, he
Minnesota.
Starts.
Yeah, other than his, like, 2 neutral zone infractions this season, which makes no sense as a safety.
Yeah, that's fair. Is that it for
That's pretty
notes?
Much all I got all for right. notes. Yeah, Tuesdays are super, super slow. Honestly, it's a good thing that it's slow around here on Tuesdays. Yeah. If anything was happening, then I'm sure it would be bad news. The team, most of the players went out to the Salvation Army in Dallas and Fort Worth yesterday.
Awesome time.
Yeah, Dorrance Armstrong, Dak Prescott, Zach Martin, Willington Prevalon, who is a practice squad defensive lineman, was also there, just helping pass out meals to the homeless and needy, and really good event. Charlotte Jones was there. It's the 20th year that they've done it. So that was what the players were up to yesterday, the ones that were there. Michael Gallup as well. But other than that, nothing else.
One of my favorite memories is doing the Salvation Army trip for Thanksgiving. Love it. Absolutely love it. So hopefully those guys had a great experience. You leave there being more touched and more impacted than the impact that you, I believe, that you laid, that you actually left, which are by your presence being there. So the players take away a lot from that experience, and I'm glad that the Cowboys continue to have that partnership and relationship with them.
Yeah, Zach Martin said yesterday, he's like, we get so caught up in being in the facility all day, every day. It's like Groundhog's Day. That's what he said. He's like, just being able to get out and do something like this, it's rewarding at the end of the day. Yeah. So,
and then hospital visits coming up in a couple weeks with the children. That's high up there
one,
too. Yeah,
another great one.
Yeah.
Another great one. Yeah, you get to ride on the buses. I won't go into that. But, yeah, you get to ride on the buses down there and go and see people who are dealing with a lot more struggles than you. And yeah, it just really puts things in perspective for the players. They're able to obviously have a long-lasting effect and you know, provide a memory for people who are going through some real hardships. But as much as a memory as you are to them, for that experience, you know, you remember them and their stories when you're out grinding every day, or when you start to, you know, come up with a complaint or, you know, an excuse for why you can't do something. You remember those people, you remember their struggles and their strength, and it helps you to proceed.
Agreed. Let's take a look at this matchup with Carolina coming up this week,
though. Okay.
We got to talk
transition.
About it. Yeah, it is a hard transition. But whenever you look at the Panthers, They enter with a 1-8 record, worst team in football record-wise at the moment, would currently be holding on to the number one pick overall next year in the 2024 draft.
What would they do with that?
But they traded it away to the Chicago Bears, and they took quarterback Bryce Young in the process. So, number one overall pick this past draft, Young, 29th in the NFL in quarterback rating, 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and the Panthers have scored only 20 points just 3 times in their 9 games, and they have not done so since October 15th. So, John, whenever you're looking at this Panthers matchup, on paper, it looks like another blowout win. Where could they challenge this Dallas defense?
I guess I would start with the fact that the other day Dan Quinn used the comparison with Bryce Young to Steph Curry in a sense that, yeah, he's not the prototypical size that you look for, maybe, you know, in an NBA player with Steph Curry. But Bryce Young does have, you know, that it factor. I just don't think he has the best – he's in the best situation right now. So he would have to just play – he would have to play as well as he did against Georgia. I believe he is the last quarterback to beat Georgia. So, you know, him and Jameson Williams had a huge game. He would have to be on that type of a level where he just has a special game, and I just don't see a veteran crew like this Cowboys defense allowing that to happen. I just, when I look at their roster, there just isn't a lot of things that really scare you to the point of, like, losing the game. Like, can Adam Thielen have a decent game? Sure, you know. Hayden Hurst, sure. But I don't see that there's enough there that would be able to put up enough points to even come close to matching what I think the Cowboys offense will put up on their defense.
And Isaiah, you like some of the pieces that they bring to the table. Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah, they have personnel.
Hayden Hurst, like John mentioned. Adam Thielen's been having a good year. Jonathan Mingo was a second-round pick this past year. Lots of youth outside of maybe Hayden Hurst and Adam Thielen, but it's a young squad of guys that just haven't really come together at the moment.
Yeah, and people have to remember that just because you have good personnel doesn't mean that you're going to have actual production.
Sure.
And I think you see that. I mean, the perfect example of that is, look what happened when Coach DeBoer was in I'm thinking about the University of Washington. Coach Dable was out in Buffalo, right? They're at top of the league always in every offensive category. They're effective, productive, all those things, right? Josh Allen was still throwing picks, but they were scoring a ton of points, correct? And then he leaves. And they try to fill that void. And now all of a sudden they find themselves in a position where they have to fire their offensive coordinator in the middle of the season. Right? Just because you have the same personnel doesn't mean that you're going to be as productive. Right? The coaching staff has a huge influence and impact on your productivity. And I think that's the same case here in Carolina. I think Carolina did a great job this offseason putting pieces in place to give Bryce Young a chance. I mean, their tight end group, talent-wise, is pretty doggone good.
Hayden Hurst, Tommy Trimble.
I like both of those guys. Those are both goons. Those are both guys I would love to have on the team, like talent-wise. Love that. Okay, you talk about Trimble Hubbard, and you talk about Miles Sanders. Those are both names that I think all of us would sit up here and say are respectable. Mm-hmm. Miles Sanders has been a freaking terror for Dallas over some years. Okay, you talk about those guys. And then you talk about you go to the receiver position. Obviously, they lost their main man in DJ Chark. But they have, you know, Adam Thielen and Mingo. Those guys are commendable guys. Those guys obviously can make some plays. They're not guys that you necessarily fear, but they're guys that you have to respect. So collectively, they have the talent, and then they just have a young quarterback that's trying to figure things out. And they can talk about his height all day long, blase, blase, blase. People who are talking about the height of quarterbacks still today are misled because it doesn't give you a great advantage. It just doesn't.
Yeah, I think the big thing with me when I look at what they've done offensively this year, I don't see any way the Cowboys score less than, I really think they put up at least 30. Mm-hmm. And this is a Carolina offense that I don't think's put up more than maybe 24, 26 in any game. And that's only one. They're averaging 17 a game. Like, I just don't see how, even if they're clicking, basically I don't see if they're clicking, their offense putting enough points to put up to go against the Cowboys offense that's just kind of
– Yeah, they can't outscore Dallas.
Right.
They can't. Not in their current system. They can't. And I think that most likely by the end of this, by the season's end, they'll end up making a change with offensive coordinator. They have to.
Yeah.
Right? They have to. They can't continue to have this – I'm not – when I say this amount of talent, I mean this is enough talent on your roster offensively to actually be productive. These guys are in the bottom five category – bottom five of every offensive category there is. And – in terms of productivity, and there's no excuse for that. They have a quarterback who's figuring things out. They have a solid running back group. They have a solid tight end group. They have a handful of receivers that can make some plays. Their offensive system is just not clicking. And once they figure that out, I think this would be a commendable offense. I'm not saying it's going to be a top five offense in the league, but based upon the parts they have, these guys should be putting some points up on the board. Now, stat-wise, you talked about how they're averaging 17 a game. Well, last week, Dallas faced a team that was averaging 11 points a game. So, you know, they're a little bit better than that, and that team scored 17. So, from that perspective, they might have a greater chance. I honestly think that this team has a better personnel group that's available
for sure
on the field than the New York Giants did.
It's very simple, too, though. You look at it at just some of their, like, next-gen stat numbers. They run 11 personnel more than any other team in the NFL. They're dead last in two tight end sets. They're next to dead last. They've actually not run any two running back sets, and they've never put six offensive linemen up there. It's just 11
crazy
personnel.
And if we're playing a game of Madden, because that's the only time we would ever have an impact on these guys roster-wise. Right, if we're playing a game of Madden, I would be in a two tight end set all day long with these guys.
Yeah, with Hurst and Trimble.
With Hurst and Trimble, are you kidding me? Those guys are both like – those are matchup nightmares.
They literally run it 7.6% of the time. Stupid.
Especially with a young quarterback. Like, you would want to have
protection.
Not only the added protection, but just a couple of safety nets across the middle as well. And those are receiving tight ends.
Yeah, and running game. I mean, both of these guys can tote the rock. Tell Miles Sanders and Trevor Hubbard.
So that means their play action numbers should be high, right?
That you would think if they actually have had an effective running game. But obviously, they're not toting that thing at all. And – It's just crazy. So that's what I'm saying. Like, people look at it and say, yeah, these guys are terrible offensively right now, and their entire team is just terrible right now. But it's not because of lack of talent. I think this front office did what they could this offseason to give Bryce Young the best opportunity possible. Because I know this season, going into this season, I was like, okay, they'll probably struggle, but at least they got some parts. They did a good job putting some pieces around that young man, and it's just not working out. And it's not all on him. Everybody's looking at him and saying, oh, what a bust. No. Don't put everything on him. And now he's still growing, and he's going to have his growth spurts, growing pains. But allow this dude to actually get a system that works for him.
I think what's going to hurt with Bryce Young the most, and y'all can maybe finish my sentence here, is that C.J. Stroud is balling in Houston. Mm. And it's always going to be those two pitted against each other. And that's kind of
Bryce Young's only win came against C.J. Stroud, though.
That's true. And that's kind of a question I wanted to pose here. If C.J. Stroud is in this offense, do y'all feel like they're still 1-8 or 1-9?
Yeah, there's so much speculation with that.
I know it's a big if, but seeing what he's been able to do, especially under pressure and similar kind of circumstance, I don't know.
It's so much. This game is so much confidence. Is built so much on confidence. And everybody looks at it and says, okay, these are the best 1,400 players in the world. And it's true, right? Currently the best players in the world. But you're still a human being, you're still an athlete, and you need confidence to play at your best.
Yeah.
Right? There's guys that go and talk about baseball. There's slumps all day long.
Yeah.
Right? Just because a player goes into a slump, he doesn't lose his ability to be able to hit the ball. Right? That doesn't that gift, that talent, that skill set doesn't go away. He's just in a rut and he can't figure out. But what happens? Gets a couple hits, and then what happens? Right back in the groove of things.
And then Dolis Garcia hits home runs in there five straight games in the
exactly, right?
ALCS.
You get your confidence back, right? You get your swag back. And nice all of a sudden, plug. You start remembering who Thanks. You are. And you start balling again. And that's exactly what I think the situation is for Bryce Young. If you put him in a system and allow for him to have a little bit of success, then guess what? Now he can puff his chest out a little bit. He starts remembering that I'm the player that they drafted, and I'm not the player that I currently am in terms of trying to figure out how to be successful in this league. His head's on a swivel. He's looking all over the place. He's finding his way out the pocket. He has happy feet. He can't set his feet to throw the ball right now. He's inaccurate. All those things because he's unsettled, right? He's trying to figure things out. And when you're trying to figure out who you are, you can't be who you are.
When Nick asked that question, I was thinking, how many points would C.J. Stroud in this offense be worth more than what Bryce Young has been given, right? Like, if he's like a points per game average, how many points? Maybe 3-4 points. So it would be anything that's like around 3 or 4 points. Week 10 against the Bears, that's probably a win. They lost by 3. They looked like garbage that whole game. Week 2, they lost by 3 to New Orleans. That's maybe about it. So 3, what would that be, 3-5 overall if C.J. Stroud's playing the way that he's playing now in Houston in the same system in Carolina. But I tend to agree with Isaiah. They run play action only 13% of the time. That's 31st in the league. I feel like you would benefit from play action. You would benefit from motion. You would benefit from two tight end sets. There's just no versatility to this offense. Maybe it's the offensive line, but I'm looking at their numbers too. They give up a pressure rate of 38%, which
is high.
Dallas is going to skyrocket that too. I just think there's bland. There's a bland thought process with this offense.
Oh
right
yeah,
now.
It's bad,
and it is very vanilla.
I mean, and make a good comparison. And this is no disrespect, but this is just a reality check.
No, be disrespectful. Yeah.
No, I'm not that guy.
Yes. Say it with a chest.
Yes.
Noah Brown couldn't really break the lineup aside from very schemed up personnel groupings. Correct, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of him in Dallas, right? But now Noah Brown is one of the top receivers in the league, number stat wise, over these past few games. Right, because they're figured out how to use him in that system. You talk about a player who was pretty much utilized as a primary blocker, right, and a specialist on one team. Okay, and you put him in an entirely different organization now, and now this dude's confidence is riding high, right? That you never saw this Noah Brown in Dallas, right? But because maybe it was that system didn't work for him. How he was being utilized, that wasn't him, right? That didn't allow for him to flourish. But you take him out of that environment, you put him in a totally different environment, totally different system, right? You feature him, you put him in a situation to be successful, and all of a sudden, his confidence is starting to grow. You take a guy who's one of the best 1,400 players in the world, right? Most people didn't look at him that way when he was in Dallas.
Yeah.
But now you have to look at him that way because of how he's playing, and his confidence continues to grow. That's what I'm talking about in terms of the environment that you're in terms of the system that you're in terms of your confidence growing and how you, any player, almost any player can be elevated like that when they're in the right situation.
It's funny you say that because I feel like they have a Noah Brown and Dallas situation on this offense, and it's Terrace Marshall. I've always been a huge Terrace Marshall fan, and mm-hmm. I feel like he's just always been in a poor system. But that take has kind of taken a step down once I've seen what Adam Thielen has been able to do this year. Because like whenever he went to Carolina, I was like, oh, he'll be a nice number two or number mm-hmm. three option for them just based on him not being able to stay on the field in his later years in Minnesota. And he's had like a career resurgence there. He's on pace for 1,300 yards. So that's going to be a big challenge for whoever's guarding Adam Thielen. I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. They have a good skill group. Mm-hmm. Like when you look at their receivers, you've already mentioned the tight ends, the running backs. It's not going to be a slouch as far as keeping those guys in check. These guys can score points. They just need to be schemed up to score points, as you said.
The one thing I'll say about the Noah Brown thing real quick, I can't let this go. I thought it was impressive how long he hung with the team, to be honest with you. It's not like he was some high draft pick or anything like that. There were times early on where you felt like, well, he's on this team because he's a good blocking wide receiver. Play with Zeke at Ohio State. This is a Zeke offense. This is whatever. But I don't know. I look back at those Cowboys teams he was with, and he always had a couple, at least one, if not two receivers ahead of him that we were like, well, yeah, that guy's just better. Mm-hmm. Now in Houston, there's really not that case. Like he's not, Tank he's, Bell. I'm not saying he's their best guy, but there's a better chance for him to shine than there ever was
going
to be here.
But I guess I bring that point up because the reason why I said that is because you could take any player that's at this level. If you're on an NFL roster, you're more than capable, right? You're literally one of the best in the world. So you take a player who was subjected to kind of like garbage duty, right, in Dallas. And now, I mean, that's what it was,
It was.
Yeah, I mean, garbage. I mean, he was a Dennis Rodman of Dallas, right? Just go out there and pick up the scraps, be physical, all right, then go back to the sideline. That's what we need you for. Mm-hmm. And you take him, and that's all – if that's what he allowed himself to just be in Dallas – that's all he was ever going to expect of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he bet on himself. Yeah. He could have came back to Dallas.
Oh, no. Credit to him for sure.
He could have bet on himself. But he said, you know what? I believe more in myself. So guess what? I'm going to leave Dallas and I'm going to go to Houston because of the roster, right? Because of the roster, because of the opportunity, new coaches, all this kind of stuff, right? I'm going to have a resurgence. This is a new breath, fresh air for me. And he go down there and now he's being featured. If the Dallas Cowboys would have known that Noah Brown was capable of that, they would have never let him walk out the door.
Yeah.
But they never put him in that situation. So that doesn't mean that he's not capable. He wasn't capable the entire time he was in Dallas. He just was never given that chance.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm saying there's a lot of players in the NFL that are like that, that get buried on rosters, that aren't given opportunity, that are kind of subject because they're really good at doing one thing, that's all they're asked to do, and all their other capabilities go unidentified because the general public never gets to see their talents.
There's just a good sample size. I mean, he'd been with the Cowboys since 2017.
Correct.
There's a good sample size with him that they could see there. It's not like, you know, one of the big stories in the NFL right now. Obviously, Josh Dobbs, we're just like, man, he just goes from one team to another, never gets a chance to sit. I think that they felt they knew what they had there and they were ready to move on. Because to your point, if he's going to produce like this, why would you even spend a third round pick on Jalen Tolbert? You'd be like, we already got our crew here. We're rolling with this group. Let's go, you know? But I felt like they probably thought, hey, we know what he is. This is what he's going to be in this offense. He's never going to be our one or two, you know? Whereas in Houston, and like I said, the biggest thing here is credit to him because as you say all that, a big part of this is that player making the most of that too.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of really talented players that never
missed the opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. They missed the boat.
Yeah. And he's definitely taken a step up since getting to Houston. We have to take a step away with our break. We'll be back when we come back. What do Bryce Young and Troy Aikman have in common? We'll let you know with more Talking Cowboys right after this.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. This portion of the show is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. Quaker Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. Did you get it in?
I did not, unfortunately.
What did you get in?
Today is waffle day for my daughter and I. Today's the day where my daughter does homeschool. My wife goes to work, actually goes into the office on Wednesday, so it's my daughter and I today. So we usually make a trip to a waffle location that's
nice.
Not sponsored.
Nice. What when's the last time you didn't have breakfast?
The last time I did not have breakfast.
Yeah. Tuesday.
This morning for me.
Yeah, it was probably Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? No. I don't know.
Last week. Okay. That surprised me. I thought you were one of these people that single day.
I would like to. It's very important. Sometimes my mornings get started at 5 a.m. I have clients early in the morning and then I run over here and sometimes life just gets crazy. So breakfast is very important.
Yeah.
Very important.
I'm starting to get into that where it's like I have to have breakfast.
You have to have it, man. It's the longest time span that you go without your body having anything to burn.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
You go to bed. I don't know what time y'all go to bed, but call it midnight. Okay?
Yeah.
Say most of us, I would say probably around midnight.
Yeah.
Okay, go to bed at midnight. All right, you wake up. All right, come in here and say 9 o'clock. Okay, so now we're on the air at 9 o'clock. If you don't eat anything by the time you do this show, you've gone 10 hours without anything, providing your body anything to burn.
I'm fasting.
Yeah, all right. All right, you better be in the gym like The Rock then.
Talking fitness here with Isaiah Stanback. Glad you're with us. What do Troy Aikman and Bryce Young have in common from their rookie seasons? Those around the Cowboys who have been around since the 80s probably remember Troy Aikman going 0-11 his rookie campaign. They were both first overall picks, of course. They've got that in common. Bryce Young is 1-7 as a starter. Of course, Andy Dalton played a little bit earlier this season. He is the backup in Carolina. Here's what they really compare with. They are dead last in NFL win percentage for a quarterback. They were dead last in passing yards per game, and then they were 29th in passer rating. Troy Aikman's completion percentage, by the way, was the worst. Bryce Young's is only fifth worst, so it's not that bad, right? It's 25th.
If the Carolina Panthers over the next few years were able to put together the 90s Cowboys around Bryce Young, I'm not saying that he would be a lock for the Hall of Fame, but I'd say that there'd be a lot of talk of him being one of the top five quarterbacks in the league for a long time.
Yeah.
Put together that offensive line, that running game, all that. That certainly helps.
He would just be just fine. I just thought that was interesting. That was some NFL Next Gen stat notes that were passed out this week, so thought I would hit that. Troy Aikman and Bryce Young.
Can I mention this text that came in earlier? Somebody said, "What an idiot," talking about me. "Make sure Nick gets the hottest hot sauce on the planet after welcoming Kelvin Joseph back." That's funny. Attached, but that's a good one.
I like,
love that.
I like when you come with these takes or just the hot takes in general, just because of the fact that the best part of this is the workout that this arm on Isaiah's microphone gets. Yeah. I know that it's not going to come flying this far, but I'm always like, let me just make sure I'm looking.
I want to have enough time for John's national storylines, so I think that's the best way we could go to break for the second time.
We're at about a 48-hour countdown for Nick, by the way.
Yeah, it's getting close. Two day countdown for Nick Harris and hot sauce.
I'm not nervous.
You're a little
nervous. I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to lie.
I didn't put my feet on anybody's couch. Yeah, I put my feet on his couch.
A little bit. Let's take our second break. When we come back, we're going to do national storylines with John Machota right after this.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a Coffee Club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free five-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is four of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at GetJackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's GetJackBlack.com. Black.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talkin' Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. This segment is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. I'll join in with you, Nick. There are a lot of people that are upset on the text line about me not seeing Martin.
Let these guys have it.
This one from the 317, this is funny, says, Kyle, it's okay. We all know your shows are Paw Patrol, Scooby-Doo, and Ninja Turtles.
Ooh. That's a good one.
Oh. I'm a Bluey fan, okay? More about Bluey. Get it right. Wrong dogs.
Kyle, watch your Blue's Clues.
Paw Patrol. Wow.
Paw Patrol. Oh, man. Kyle, what is wrong with you? Never seen Martin. What? And that's from Howard in Virginia.
Thanks, BA. Appreciate you.
There's a lot of great suggestions for sitcoms over the course of the show. Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Does that count as a sitcom?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a great show.
That is a great
show.
Never heard of that one.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
We didn't watch that.
It's like a recent.
It's more recent.
I thought you were trying to make a Philadelphia joke. You literally have never seen it.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. I don't watch a lot of TV.
That's like one of my parents' favorite shows.
If I watch TV, it's usually WWE for my kids.
Okay.
That's a sitcom. Yeah. Right?
Pretty much.
That's funny. It said the text who called you an idiot said, "Hey, Nick, this is Mike from New York. No offense."
Yeah, no offense taken. That was good stuff.
I love it. All right, John, let's get to your national storylines.
So we can talk about this one at the end if we have time, but I just want to point out that the two biggest stories, I think, in the NFL right now in terms of play on the field, Deshaun Watson is now out for the season, undergoing a surgery to repair his fractured throwing shoulder. So obviously that's a significant loss for the Cleveland Browns. The other one is that the Bills are trying to fix their offense by firing their offensive coordinator. So, again, we can get to that one in a little bit if you want to talk about either of those topics. But I just wouldn't want to leave them out because they are two of the biggest things going. They just didn't have a lot of Cowboys ties, so I just wanted to just mention them real quick. What does have the Cowboys tie is this MVP race. Now, there is talk of Dak Prescott playing his best football these last four games, and he has. And I would say that you could put him in the conversation with anybody over these last four games. Mm-hmm. But now it's turned to people talking about, should he be in the MVP race, okay? And so I just wanted to bring up right now, the current odds, and where he ranks. Do you guys think that he's in the top 20?
Yes.
Yeah.
Top 15?
Yes, barely. But not by a lot, yeah. I don't think he's top 10. MVP.
Top 10.
Are we talking like odds or what we think?
Odds.
Odds, he's probably top 10.
I'm thinking
top 10.
I don't know about odds.
I'll say like 11 or 12.
Okay. Yeah. He's ninth. Huh. In front of him are Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Tua, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, buddy.
Joe Burrow.
Why?
CJ Stroud.
Yeah, CJ.
Josh Allen.
Okay.
Brock Purdy. And
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Yep.
How is Josh Allen in it?
Josh Allen and Joe Burrow have not played as well as Dak Prescott.
That's just a name.
They're both good quarterbacks. Don't get me wrong. They have not played as well.
That's just the name.
And Dak's actually tied for ninth with Christian McCaffrey.
C-Mac, yeah.
See, I would even put C-Mac probably above Dak right now.
Yeah.
But not those other two.
Stroud's balling. Lamar Jackson's balling.
Yeah, balling. A lot of those other guys.
No defensive guys?
No. Because, again, odds are going to go off of what they think who is going to win the award.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And let's be honest. There's a lot of great defensive players in this league. But as unfair as it is to win an MVP,
you have to have,
like, literally, I believe if you're an edge rusher, you have to be the next person to set the sack record. Like, you have to do something.
Well,
just
change the name of it then.
Yeah.
At this point, you know, like, it's stupid.
I mean, it's not even, I wouldn't even say it's an offensive award
no,
either.
It's, quarterback
it's just
award.
A quarterback award, you know?
It's kind of like the Heisman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
that might change this year.
Think so?
It's an opportunity.
Harrison Jr.?
Yeah, he's
that would be fun. I would love that.
Yeah. I mean, Devontae Smith won the Heisman a couple years ago.
It's between Harrison Jr. and Michael Penix.
Of course. I think for the Dak MVP conversation specifically, I think he has just as good of a chance of winning the MVP as the Cowboys do of winning a Super Bowl. And that's not a slight. Like, I just think like that's like where it is. You know, I think they're both like at the top of the second echelon of contenders. Like when you look at both of those categories.
Who would you put as your favorite right now?
Probably Lamar.
As long as Patrick Mahomes plays football, he'll always be my favorite to win those awards.
No. Like in actuality, or by play. Like based off of play.
Like
this year.
The season ended today, who would win it?
Yes.
Lamar in my book.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Close, yeah.
The other thing that factors, and I know that you're not going to like about this, is that the reason I believe Jalen Hurts is there is because right now, I think the odds would say that they probably finish with the best record in the NFL.
Yeah.
And if you're the quarterback on the team that finishes with the best record in the NFL, that's going to have.
I get it.
See, and it should be A.J. Brown instead of Jalen Hurts, in my opinion, but it's neither here nor there.
Interesting. Okay.
Going to your second topic about Josh Allen.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of conversations in regards to why Dak has been always in the front of the media. Now, obviously, the star is the answer. But why he's always in the front of the media in terms of his interceptions.
Right.
When Josh Allen has led the league in interceptions since, I believe, 2018.
Since he came in the league.
Yeah.
Except for last year.
It's funny because when I hear those conversations, all I think of is how people will say, oh, well, then Dak hasn't been to an NFC championship game. Or they'll bring a playoff, something like that. And that amuses me. Because if it's anything other than winning a Super Bowl, it wouldn't even matter if Dak took him to the NFC Championship. People would still say, well, they didn't win a Super Bowl. Like, there'd always be that next thing. But I promise you, if anybody brings up that argument between the Josh Allen and Dak thing, the very first thing they'll talk about is the playoff success, even though it's not like Josh Allen's been to a Super Bowl either.
Yeah.
What this all comes down to, ladies and gentlemen, is Josh Allen would get the same smoke if he was the Dallas Cowboys quarterback.
Yeah.
And Dak wouldn't get the same smoke if he was the Buffalo Bills quarterback.
Yeah. I will say he's led the league in interceptions. Not like league leader number one on the board the last 3 years, but he's had 10 interceptions in 2020, 15 in 2021, and 14 last year. He's been in the top five in interceptions each of those years. But he's also been in the top five in touchdown passes, too. 37 touchdowns in 20,
right.
36 in 21. Exactly. That's exactly what it – I was actually going to say that. I was leading into that. 35 in 2022. And even this year when he is number one in interceptions thrown, he is also number one in touchdown passes thrown. 19 touchdowns.
It's tough, though, because when Favre was doing a lot of that, like I felt like – he was probably the best quarterback in the league, and you felt like he was always going to give the Packers a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that way about Josh Allen.
I don't either.
Not in this offense.
Yeah.
Remember when Jameis Winston threw like 36 touchdowns and 30 interceptions or something
I do. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Florida State ties.
Do you think that whole shakeup, getting rid of the OC, what are your thoughts on that? Like, do you think that really matters? Well, I'm saying when you're doing that like mid-season.
Yes,
like
when you're trying to hold on to players like Stephon Diggs, yes, it does matter.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. The same reason why the Raiders did what they did to hold on to Davante Adams and let him know, hey, change is coming. It's communication.
Okay. This is my favorite one I wanted to get to. So I guess on the Manning cast, I wasn't watching it live, but I saw a clip of it.
I'm so glad you're bringing this up.
Please bring it up.
Patrick Mahomes explained
nasty
that he wears the same red underwear every game for his entire NFL career. He says he washes them. But
he said sometimes.
He did say something. That's a good point. So you can share your thoughts, anyone, on that. But the reason I brought it up is I want to know if you guys have any superstitions when it comes to sports.
I'll say this, the first thing that I thought of whenever I saw that was like, yeah, he's a baseball player. Of course he does that. Mm-hmm. Like that's just superstition baseball in him. Secondly, it's pretty disgusting. But hey, you can't knock the process. You see what he's doing. If it's the underwear, it's the underwear. I wouldn't break my stride either.
if that gives him confidence.
I mean, Michael Jordan wore those same North Carolina basketball shorts throughout his whole career. It's a little bit different. External,
that's true. External. The one thing I have with superstition is if you have a direct impact on the game, you're allowed to be superstitious. Like if you have a direct impact how this game is going,
you're allowed to not wash your drawers.
Sure.
That's it.
Absolutely.
As long as you can win ball games, Patrick don't wash Mahomes, your drawers.
I bet you all Chiefs fans out there are like, you know what, Pat? Like, keep going. You've won two rings already. Make it happen.
There's fans trying to do the same thing now that they know that.
That's the thing is if you're at home, even if you're in the building, if you're going to the games, I'm okay with superstitions because you're in the building. You're there. But if you're at home and you're sitting in the same spot on the couch, or if you're sitting, you have to read the same newspaper, the same book just because it's good luck for you. You got to wear the same shirt and you're wearing it to the grocery store every week. I'm not there. That's just not how I do things, superstition-wise.
So, because you being a play-by-play guy, I'll tell you this real quick. So if I'm watching a game, let's say Florida State's playing and they're not playing well, I always mute the TV. We got to get a run going.
And you mute the TV.
And then if they start playing well, I might turn it back up. But especially if it's a big game and I'm watching by myself. I'm obviously not going to do that if I'm watching with other people. But generally big games, I don't want to do it
when you're watching it with other people. No, guys, sorry.
It honestly doesn't work that way with me because I wouldn't watch a big Florida State game with other people.
Good point.
I mean, unless I'm at the game. Like, there's just no way I would go up to the bar to hear some idiot who doesn't know anything about the game that's going on just interjecting. Like, they're watching A&M over here, but then they're just going to throw out something they have no clue about. So, I'm big about that superstition like that. And it sucks because I hate that I have it, but I just notice I do it subconsciously, like, when it's going on.
That's interesting.
We have a question over here.
Oh, no.
I think that's strike three.
Is that strike three?
He knows. Listen, have you ever worn the same pair of dirty drawers twice?
No. I wouldn't do that, no.
Nick?
I'm not big on the clothes.
What was the question?
Have you ever put on the same pair of dirty drawers twice?
No. I'm kind of a clean freak when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I'm thinking he's washing them in between
games. He did say sometimes,
you're right. I'm trying to get him out here.
I'll say this, though. If I'm going out and I'm beating the Bills on like four touchdowns and 500 yards, I'm not washing them things. Absolutely not.
I'm washing them.
I'm not. Are you kidding me?
I want them to be fresh.
Are you kidding me? No one's going to care about my dirty draws when I'm making $500 million.
I care. Personally, if it was me, I care about my
life. I'm going to say.
I don't want the bump bumps.
My wife still loves me. I got beautiful kids.
Gross. Would you allow your wife to wear the same pair of dirty drawers? Because of superstition?
All right. Now that
exactly, yeah. It changes everything now, doesn't it?
John's so done with this.
Every time Kyle comes on TV and has a good call, I'm not going to wash my drawers.
I didn't think it was going to go there. I'll be honest. When I was putting this list together, I did not think that this topic would go there. I honestly...
No, babe, don't wear them. You keep wearing them dirty drawers. I got to get this money.
When I think about the playoffs, though... I could see players doing that stuff for the playoffs. Right. Like, you win a playoff game, I'm not changing.
I got tears.
Go to wife right now, Kyle. No. Go to wife. Every time Kyle has a good call, she wears the same draw.
Why? Why has it got to be mine?
Because you're married, man.
So are you.
My wife's washing her draws.
So what's mine?
Well, Patrick Mahomes' wife doesn't want him washing his draws.
And that's a Brittany Mahomes thing.
I don't think that she said that.
Oh, my God.
I think he said his wife bought him for him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's nasty,
I'm telling you, I think it's because of the playoffs would be the only thing I could see.
Nah, you control everything.
Don't you think it'd be the worst for him if the center was the one doing that?
Oh,
bro.
Oh,
I had my center.
Shotgun, 100%.
Brad Vanderman. Okay, Brad Vanderman was my center my redshirt sophomore year
College. Let's give the folks the percentage of how many times you were under center versus getting the gun.
Oh, bro, it was back old school. We were under center, right? So, I mean, we were always under center. So, Brad Vanderman was my center, okay? Shout out to Brad. That's my dude. But Brad had swamp tail, okay? Mm-hmm. Swamp donkey, okay? I'm not sure what you can say on that.
No, we got your point.
Okay, but he had swamp donkey. And... So much so, this is so bad, bro. This is so bad.
Oh boy.
Okay, this is a truth serum though. I'm keeping it real with you guys. Safe place. I would throw the ball. His butt was sweat so much and his taint. Okay? He was sweat so much that I would throw the ball, all right, and water would come off of my hand. That's how bad this was. Okay? I would listen, okay? I'm a clean freak. I washed the crap out of my butt, okay? In my hands and everything else. I would be in class and I would like, you know, scratch my nose and I would smell him.
No.
I promise you, this is why they probably why everybody does shotgun.
Nobody's ever gonna listen to this show.
It's okay. This is a safe place. Okay, this is me keeping it real with you guys. Listen, this is how bad it was. He would change his game pants at halftime.
I have heard of players doing this. Yeah,
that's smart.
This is how bad it was.
Pittman used to make his center change.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Hey, it's a thing, bro. It's a thing. Back in the day when there was no real shotgun, you were underneath center, dude. There's pictures of my.
That's why the shotgun was invented. Actually,
probably. Because it was bad,
it's not
bro.
A strategic advantage.
Brad Banner.
Pure survival.
Look him up on Facebook, LinkedIn.
There's Isaiah. He's got one of those, the hand warmer things, like, but inside of it
it's
is
a towel.
It's towel and hand sanitizer in between every play.
Bro, honestly, I used to put a towel on his waistband, right? And I had to stop because the towel would get wet. So I had to start putting the towel on myself. And I would have to, like, wipe my hands off right before the snap.
What was the conversation like between you and him?
Bro, he would just be like, it is what it is.
That's how shotgun started. Yeah, whoever like probably, invented shotgun, bro. It was because it was a really bad center.
Bro, it was so bad.
Really bad butt center.
But yeah, it was like stank all the time.
Just to get away from this.
No, I want to thank Patrick Mahomes for bringing this topic up.
Thank you, Patrick.
We can share it in
appreciate
a safe space.
You guys.
Safe place, Kyle.
Anthony in Seattle said, I don't let my wife watch the Cowboys game when it's close. Every time she watches, we lose. Hashtag superstition.
Tell her not wash your drawers, bro.
Oh, don't.
Shout out to Seattle.
In fantasy football, this is from the 325. Chris in San Angelo sent this. Said, in fantasy football, I never watch my players on TV. They never do anything until I change the channel.
Yeah.
I'm not superstitious.
That's fair. Fantasy football.
I think there's a lot of Cowboys fans out there that would wear the same underwear.
Absolutely.
If the team would win the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
I would do it. I would. If the Cowboys, if it meant, and I knew ahead of time, the Cowboys would win the Super Bowl, I would make sure to
not that. Wash your draw.
Absolutely.
For how long? Would be how long?
The bumpiest cat walking around. I'm buying you baby powder.
I mean, are you talking like every day or just for the games?
No, I mean, yeah,
every
I
day would be tough,
day.
Man.
I couldn't do
Beamer.
That.
Could, Beamer,
it would be like just for games.
Don't bring me into
is there
this.
Anything that you that would cause you to never wash your drawers and continue to wear that same pair of drawers?
Absolutely not.
Like,
I think there's a lot of people
twice,
that would do it on game day.
On game days
for the Cowboys.
This isn't like every day. I'm not coming in crusty. Like
once a week, just once a week.
Yeah,
just 18 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Hold them up. They'll air dry out. After.
Yeah, plus playoffs.
All right.
So 20 weeks out the year, you just wearing the same.
Just air dry. We'll clip
that week
them
in between
air
the
dry
Super Bowl
out the backyard.
That
they'll be
would
in the
be
very
awful.
Back.
I'd rather go to the freaking junkyard.
You wouldn't. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl here. Okay.
Yep. Me too.
Isaiah's just not as committed as Kyle.
I'm trying to win a ring. All right, that does it for us here on Talking Cowboys.
What a segment.
We got to get out.
Way to go, JM.
Yeah. Well done,
John.
Good job. Give Nick Eatman a call. He'll be a little bit more on the rails. 888-855-2297 for Cowboy Storyline coming up here in a little bit. We'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m. with some QB fishing. That does it for us on Talking Cowboys. For Chris Bean, Isaiah Stanback, John Machota, Nick Harris, who wants Kelvin Joseph back. I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow.
I love how that's a footnote now.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club. How about this, Cowboys?